Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the trolling that... Wait a sec. Okay, let's redo that. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 160, Total War Warhammer. So I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt, and I want to welcome all of you new and longtime listeners alike to this special episode of Wargaming Recon. As you can guess by the intro, things have changed here a little bit. I know not all of you may have listened to the previous episode, episode 159, where I talk about Huzzah 2016. That was recorded live in Portland, Maine at the Huzzah Historical Wargaming Convention. I had a very special guest, Adrian Benson, who is a retired submariner and a wargamer and a close friend of mine. And we were on and we talked about all sorts of cool things that we did at Huzzah. And during that episode, I made a big announcement when I revealed that no longer be with the Troll in the Corner podcast network, a network that I helped to found with my buddies over at Troll in the Corner and one that I've been with for a long, long, long time. But I've left. I still have my show Geeks Explicitly there, but Wargaming Recon has left and joined the very kind and exciting people over at TSR. And I talked more about it in that last episode, but this is the very first episode of Wargaming Recon branded under TSR. So part of that network, and really excited to be able to reach a lot of other people in addition to our core audience and just kind of expand the number of people listening to the show. We're the flagship historical wargaming show at TSR. We're the only historical wargaming show at TSR, but we're the flagship one, right? So we talk about historical and New England gaming there. And I am, as I said, I'm delighted. So the intros will have that in there instead of when I mentioned Troll in the Corner and so forth. It'll be the TSR Podcast Network. And I'm excited, and we can call that a blooper for the intro, right? Just a little bit of adjustment and change. So anyway, for all of you, I know a lot of you know, if you listen to the show a long time, that I have something cool called show notes. I talk about a lot of things in episodes of the show, and it's hard to keep track of all of that. Many people listen to podcasts and listen to Wargaming Recon when they're driving, when they're at the gym, or in the case of Wargaming Recon, I know a lot of you like to listen while you're assembling and painting models. You got a whole army working on a new brigade you're doing, and you want to get that going, but you want to also occupy your ears, because a lot of times if you do an assembly line painting, it can be a little mindless, but you're not going to remember everything discussed in an episode. It's something you're going to want to remember. Show notes come into play. It is one thing for you to remember. You don't have to remember everything else, just the link to the show notes. WargamingRecon.com/WR160. That's WargamingRecon.com/WR160. That'll bring you to the show notes where you'll have links and content for all the things that I talk about in this episode today. And as I said, I'm going to be talking about Total War Warhammer. That's the official name. I refer to it as Warhammer Total War, just kind of internally, because I know why they do it. They want to brand everything so that you get the Total War name in the front and then the property. It's like Total War Empire, Total War Attila, Total War Rome 2, or whatever. Actually, that's, I think, is Rome Total War 2 or something like that. Anyway. They want you to know the franchise name. And in my head, I'm like, it's Warhammer using the Total War engine. So I will interchange them in the episode. I will say Total War Warhammer. I'll say Warhammer Total War, Warhammer Fantasy Total War, things like that. It is the Total War new computer game set in the realm of Warhammer Fantasy, not the new Age of Sigmar Warhammer Fantasy, but the old world Warhammer Fantasy. All the way from, you know, up to edition 8, and that Warhammer Fantasy. So let's talk about it a little bit. I'm going to tell you about some of my experience playing with the game and some information about it, things I like, things I don't like. Not really a review, but we can call it a review if you want. Just kind of an overview about this new game, what I think about it, and whether it may or may not be worth your time to pick up. So it costs $59.99. Let's call it $60. You can buy it on Amazon. I have an affiliate link to that. It'll be in the show notes. It's a digital download, or you can get it on Steam. I'll have a link to that as well. You need to have at least Windows 7 and the 64-bit version of it. This is very important, and I'll tell you why. I installed Windows 7 on my computer. I have a MacBook Pro, and I'll go into just a brief bit on this, because the technical stuff can lose a lot of people. It's not important. If you're going to do it, and if you are in a similar situation as I am, you can just look it up online, or I'll have information or whatever. But I had to install Windows, and I installed Windows 7. I did the 32-bit version. That's just fine. I mean, why do I have two different versions in Windows 7 in my installation box? I'll just take the first disk, and that's that, and I'll install it, and we'll be good. Well, I did that, and I didn't realize, because I didn't pay attention and read the directions and read the instructions, something I know a lot of men, myself included, are accused of, and in this case, justly so, that we don't read instructions, we don't follow the instructions. And if I had, I would have saved myself a lot of heartache here. So I installed it, and I went to install the game, and it wouldn't work. I was like, what the heck? Why? I got Windows 7, it's supposed to work, and I'm doing this and that, and my other stuff meets the criteria. What the heck is going on? Why won't it work? And it turned out I met all but one of the criteria. I did have Windows 7, but I needed the 64-bit version. Ugh, dummy, right? So I had to uninstall everything, undo everything I'd done, and then redo it. Hours and hours and hours of time for me to do this. If you're on a Windows machine, it's not a problem. But if you're using a Mac and you want to install Windows so that you can then do this, make sure you save yourself some time. Install Windows 7 or 8 or 10 or whatever, but at least Windows 7, and make sure it's the 64-bit version of the version of Windows that you have. If it's not the 64-bit, you're going to have a bad time. So that's why I'm stressing this, because seriously, I installed it, and I spent like 4 hours installing it, uninstalling it, researching why isn't it working, doing this, that, and the other. It was so frustrating, and you can save yourself a lot of this headache, really, just by looking at the system requirements, seeing if it meets things that you have. If you're not sure, it's easy to tell, and just look it up, and you'll be fine. And if you can't tell, chances are you have a friend who's probably like a computer kind of guy, someone who knows tech and that sort of stuff, and I tend to be that person for the people around me. But again, I was a dummy. I'm sure your computer friend won't be, and they can say, oh yeah, you're fine. Oh no, what are you doing? Don't do that. Windows 7 64-bit at least is what you need. So I was able to install it. I used Bootcamp, which is a way Macs can install and run Windows and other operating systems. And off I went. And I started to play the game. And I'm playing it and I'm thinking, this looks really crappy. What the heck is wrong? The screen was all like blacked out. And I tried doing a campaign as Vampire Counts. And I thought, okay, I'll dive in. I'll try Vampire Counts because I have some Vampire Count stuff, and I like the Vampire Counts. I mean, their lore and history and their vampires kind of frightens the crap out of me. I have a very active imagination. So horror sort of stuff are things that I try not to dive into. I'm not going to watch horror movies because I can't sleep at night, and I'm not afraid to admit that. I am, however, afraid. I guess you could say, I'll admit it, I'm afraid watching horror movies and things of that sort. So I have this love-hate relationship with the Tomb Kings and the Vampire Counts. I think they're really interesting and fascinating. And I love the book Dracula, and at the same time, scares the crud out of me. So I tried doing it. I was prepared to be all like, oh, what's going to be? And, oh, I got to hide and so forth. And the screen's black, and I hear voices. I'm like, what the heck is this? What is wrong? And my stuff meets right here. What? I don't get it. And so I just kind of escaped through the intro cinematic movie, and I was very disappointed because I wanted to see it. The original trailers for the game looked fantastic, right? They were actual gameplay trailers. You can play the game when you're doing an in-game battle. You can remove all the overlay stuff, the controls and all that sort of thing, so it looks like a movie, a trailer like you would see for a game. And I thought, I know it's not going to look as good because my computer isn't a top-notch gaming machine, but it should look somewhat decently. But why is it all black? And I got into the actual fighting, and the battle worked. And that was cool and fun, but I couldn't shake that it was black, and I just thought that was odd. So I finished that battle. I said, oh, let's try something else. Let's go ahead and we'll try just a battle. I'm going to do Dwarfs versus Empire, just to see how it goes. And it'll be a defensive battle, a siege. And the screen was all green. And I'm like, I can make out some shapes. That looks like a building, a wall maybe. Is that a unit? I can't tell. I'm squinting. I'm going, what the heck is this? So I close out and I restart, close out, restart. Back and forth. And the same thing. And again, because I didn't look at instructions, when I open up the game, it brings you to this cool window. And instead of launching directly into the game, this window allows you to open up all the Total War games. Of course, you have to have purchased them, but you can get into them. And there was this warning on there that said, your graphics might need to have the drivers updated. Okay, I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to try getting the same thing. Okay, well, how do I update my drivers? It's really simple when you're on a computer designed for one operating system. You're using a Windows machine that you bought as a Windows machine, not a problem. Mac bought as a Mac, not a problem. But going across, I had to kind of dig around and find out. And these are problems you don't have with tabletop gaming. When I promoted this live recording, this episode, I got some feedback, and I was going to save this bit for the mailbag section, but I'll use it now, where listener Adam actually responded on G+, and he left a comment basically saying that computer gaming is not really his thing. And that's cool. I mean, it's not for everyone, and I get that. I completely understand. His actual comment, and I'm just pulling it up here, is, quote, sorry, computer-based war games aren't really my thing, unquote. And I get that. And do you know what? This is a prime example of something you can avoid by just doing tabletop. So old school, you get your dice, you get your all the stuff. You don't really have to worry about, are these dice compatible with these models and this and that. You did the homework beforehand. You're playing a system, you're good. You're playing Warhammer on the tabletop. You're playing Age of Sigmar. You're playing, you know, Warhammer Fantasy pre-Age of Sigmar. You're playing 40K, any of those things. It's that closed system, you're good. You're playing Battlefront stuff. You're playing Flames of War, closed system, all compatible, you're good. Go into computers and you're going to make sure everything works. Every little thing. Does this fit? Does that fit? How does this go? And you're hoping that everything is going how it's supposed to. So I managed to update my drivers, and golden, that fixed it all, and I dived in. I did a campaign. Said, okay, I tried Vampire Counts, kind of cool, did a one-off battle. I tried Dwarves, I looked funky. But let's give them another try. So I did a Dwarf campaign. Anyone who plays Warhammer knows it's Dwarf, D-W-A-R-F, not Dwarf or Dwarves, as Tolkien did. Completely different, and I believe it's probably because of IP, copyright, trademark sort of stuff, that the folks at Games Workshop may have been told at one point, you need to make them different, otherwise you're going to get sued. That's a guess. I'm not saying it's true, nor that it happened, but it's just my presumption that that happened once upon a time. So I dived in. I played, I think, every single Total War game that has come out, and I think I own them all. I can't remember if I bought Attila or not, and if I haven't, I intend to. But I played all of them. I played Rome, Medieval, Shogun, Rome 2, Shogun 2, Medieval 2, expansions. I bought downloadable content for them. I played Empire. I played Napoleon. I played, I'm sure I'm forgetting something. I played just about all of them. So I'm quite familiar with the way that Total War works. If you're not, allow me to explain. Total War is a strategy role play, not role play, strategy war gaming, real-time war gaming setup, where you have options of doing one-off battles. You can do historical battles or predetermined, as it could be for this because of Warhammer, not historical, of course. And, or you can do a campaign. You play the campaign, you control a faction on a map. It's a map-based campaign. You construct buildings, you improve your province, your territory, whatever you want to call it. You expand your holdings to try to control more and more and meet some sort of victory conditions. Along the way, you have battles which you can either relegate to the AI to just auto-resolve, or you can dive in yourself and control the units yourself in great 3D real-time action. Very cool, right? A lot of fun. A lot to keep track of, but a lot of fun. Some of them have a steeper learning curve than others. This uses that foundation. So it takes that, it builds upon it, and then it does something cool. It completely makes it feel like you're playing Warhammer. It removes all those other restrictions from trying to make the game look like a real place. Because if you're playing, say, Shogun 2 Total War, it needs to look like
feudal Japan. It needs to feel like feudal Japan. These locations and places in feudal Japan existed. We have proof. We have imagery of these locations. We know what they're supposed to look like. It can make it very hard for game designers to get that into the computer and make it workable for everyone. Warhammer, different, right? Anyone who's played Warhammer, who's read any of the books in the Black Library, anyone who's familiar with the Warhammer world and the Warhammer setting and Warhammer in general, kind of knows, or at least has an inkling, but an idea of how Warhammer is supposed to look, what the general terrain is supposed to be. But it's not set down in stone precisely, nor exactly how every location is supposed to look. So the game designers have more freedom in doing that. They can do more whimsical things, different things, things that they can't do with a historical game, like Shogun, Rome, any of those, right? Medieval, whatever. Can't do it with those. They're stuck. But you're free for this. The campaign, the map-based campaign, I feel, is a much more streamlined and so, so enjoyable version of those old map campaigns that a lot of places and people tried to run for Warhammer Fantasy. I think Games Workshop even had expansions where you would buy hexes, right? They were 3D hexes. You made the terrain, you painted them up, and you did it to make your own map. And you put it out, and then you get everyone together, and then you try to move around there and control stuff or whatever. But it's basically, it's a map campaign. It's been in books for, like, for eternity, right? And those are fun, but they have a huge drawback of this in-person gaming where you need to get whoever you're playing with in the same location at the same time. Computer gaming frees you from that so that you can do this map campaign. You can do a multiplayer. You can be at your home. Your buddy can be at their place and you can make it work. You don't have to worry about getting to the game show, getting to the club, getting to your place, wherever the venue is, lugging all those models in it. You've got it here. The game allows you to do large armies. So you can have many, many, many more units than you can normally have. You can do a standard size Total War one, which is like 20 units per army. You can fit all that in. It looks fantastic on the table. It's great. I played the Dwarf campaign for over 7 hours. Really got in there, expanded my Dwarven realm, or Dwarfin realm, I should say. Did battle with all sorts of stuff, fought the Greenskins and all these sorts of things. It's really cool. You're able to do diplomacy that fits. When this game was made, they truly channeled the feel of Warhammer and the feel of all the factions. It feels, that's the word again, it feels as if you are immersed into the Warhammer world because everything's themed properly. Go from the units to the tactics that you need to employ to even the terrain on the campaign map. I happened to attack an area that was controlled by orcs, greenskins, and the map showed that, you know, there was these torches and very, very primitive wooden buildings and all that sort of stuff. I took it over, defeated them in their city locale, took it over, became my dwarven territory, and the map changed so that there was dwarven architecture shown on the map. Changes to the mountains, it was in a mountain region, of course. Changes to the mountain, it made it look and feel more dwarven. I was like, this looks like this is my home, I'm a dwarf! Get me underground where all the cool stuff is, give me a beer, I need some ale. It felt authentic. That's something you can't do in an in-person game. Yeah, you can put terrain on the table or whatever, and if you're doing map terrain, you gotta change the map every time, or you have those hexes. I think they're out of print, but if you still have them, Mighty Empires, that might be what it's called. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what it's called. You have those hexes and you painted them up with stuff. You can't really easily change it to fit whatever race is there, whatever faction controls it. But this does it. The computer does it automatically. So it's very, very cool. If you're doing individual battles where you control the units, they're a lot of fun as well. My enjoyment comes from campaigns. I don't like to really get down and control things on the battlefield. I want the AI to do it. I want me to build my army how I want and go and control the terrain and build my empire and do diplomacy and all that sort of stuff. But the actual combat, I could spend hours playing one of those. And that can be cool, and that's something that you might enjoy. I want to focus on the other stuff. So AI all the way. If you do want to do that combat, you're going to have a blast. It feels just like you're playing a tabletop game, minus the dice rolling and so forth. Factions have monsters. They have war machines. They're led by a lord or a hero. These add a lot of flavor and finesse to your battle. They influence how you need to wage the battle, when you need to attack, how you need to attack, without being as finicky as historical Total Wars were. You needed to be in a correct formation to do certain things at certain times in the historical ones. This frees you up from that. You still say want to attack units in the flank or the rear. You want to have units with spears defending against units on horseback or and so forth. It's sort of rock, paper, scissors, but nowhere near as bad as playing a tabletop version of Warmer Hordes where you need to have this particular unit because that one is the best and it'll beat everything except this other one will trump in a power game that it's not as bad as that. The lords, the monsters, they have special abilities. Lords can be on certain mounts, which is cool, but it doesn't unbalance the game. They are not completely dominating. It's possible to take anything down in the game with just about anything. Some are going to be harder than others. You can do it though. And it's cool. There are some battles called quest battles that have more of the Warhammer lore or history surrounding it. Key battles from times and places that add a lot of flavor to your faction. They can be played as one-offs. You can play them as part of a campaign. They'll show up at an appropriate time if you choose to do them because they are optional. But if you choose to do one of these quest battles and you succeed, you get really cool things afterwards. Special armor, weapons, spells, whatever. Units or other things get added on. Quite cool. I'm someone who used to play Warhammer Fantasy and I stopped. I don't think I played Warhammer after, I don't know, 6th edition, maybe 7th. I can't quite remember. I know I don't have an 8th edition rulebook. I might have a 7th edition rulebook, but I don't, if I do, I didn't play it at all or very much. In this game, some of the units were new to me. I think it's based off 8th edition. Some of the units I didn't know what they were. So I had to get used to them and learn what they were and how they operated and where they fit into the Warhammer world. That was a little tricky for me. I think if you're someone who's coming to this new, you don't really know anything about Warhammer, you never played Warhammer, maybe your buddies said, oh, you know, we always thought you should play this, but you couldn't get into it because of all the stuff you had to do, buy the models, someone them, painted them, all that kind of stuff. You wanted to do this instead because it saves you from all that. You can have the same issues, but it's a very, very shallow learning curve. I feel quite comfortable with it. I played 7 hours. I think you can do that in less, really. I think maybe just a couple hours at most. Get in, you play, you're going to be doing stuff while you adapt into that learning curve and getting more comfortable with the units. You can have a blast. I also did enjoy the multiplayer. I mentioned that you can do multiplayer campaign. And like I said, if you can't game in person with your buddies, give this a try because I think you're going to like it. Warhammer is a lot of fun, or can be anyway. I am a huge fan of the Warhammer setting. I love reading about Warhammer. I love the fluff about it, the fiction that exists, the history and the lore behind it. In actuality, playing the tabletop game is not something I love doing anymore. But I'm fascinated about the people and the places and the things that happen in the Warhammer setting. So it's cool for me to be able to experience gaming and wargaming in Warhammer without having to buy, paint, and assemble all the stuff. The models are hugely expensive and I don't have to deal with Age of Sigmar. Age of Sigmar sounds cool and interesting in its own ways and different aspects of it. It's not something I want to do. I am fully vested in enjoying what they call the old world, the Warhammer history. Not so much Age of Sigmar after the end times. I like the things before that, not the stuff so much now. It's not things I want to read about now. So I'm not going to want to game it so much. So it fits for me. There are some cons to the game. There's cons to everything. So first of all, the game ships with just a few factions. And there's a lot of factions in Warhammer. You get Empire, you get Greenskins, you get Vampire Counts, and you get Dwarfs. Bretonians are in there, but I don't think you can... I don't remember if they're a player-controlled race or not. The final one... Warriors of Chaos, or Chaos Warriors, you only get for free if you buy the game in its first week of release. It was released on, I think, May 25th, 2016. So by the time you're listening to this at the earliest, get a move on, because you might even have missed it. Otherwise, it's a downloadable content you're going to pay extra for. I think that's ridiculous. They should have been included. Chaos is a core aspect of the Warhammer world. They needed to have it in there. If for no other reason, as they're considered a general all-around bad guy that fits all sorts of things, don't just leave it to the Greenskins and the Vampire Counts. Put Chaos in too. Now the negative for me is the game costs $60 American. 60. That's for a digital download. 60. 60. That's a lot of money. Digital downloads should not cost as much as a physical copy of a game. If this came out back when it was easy to buy physical copies of games, I bet you'd pay about $45 to $55 for it. If it was like a console game, you'd pay $60. It's not something most console games would have, but you'd pay $60 for a computer. $40 to $50 is probably what you pay. $60 for a digital download. If you are not 100% sure that you want to play it, or if you are not a true Warhammer fan, you're just not really involved with Warhammer and want to give it a go, I suggest waiting. Steam does sales all the time, so you can definitely pick up a sale. Or if you buy it from Steam and not from Amazon, Steam gives you, it's like a very limited money time, money back guarantee. You have to have played the game less than 2 hours, and there's some other criteria on the Steam website, and you can submit a request and they'll refund you if you meet their criteria. The big one is like you can't have bought it and then played a lot of hours or let like months gone by. So you can always do that. Again, if you're not sure, wait, save yourself the money, because if you love it, you're not going to want the money back, but you're also not going to want to spend $50 on it. Sorry, $60 on it. $60 is a lot of money. It's steep. I think it's quite steep. Also, also, the game is only for Windows. A lot of people have Windows machines. I don't. I think now, where things are with computer gaming, there's no excuse for a major game publisher such as Sega and Creative Assembly to release a game that is Windows only at release. They say they're going to have an OS X, a Macintosh version of it, at a later date. They haven't said when. No reason not to have it on release or shortly after. And there's still a lot of people who use Linux and other operating systems. Open it up, as many as possible. Put it out there. Just, it seems odd to me. In the past, with other Total War games, I bought them and bought, say, the Windows version. I've gotten them on Steam. Steam's remembered that, and it's given me the OS X version for free. Just because, like, you bought the game, it's available on this platform as well, and you're golden. I don't know if Amazon's done that, because I've never purchased a computer game on Amazon. I bought video games, like physical video games. No computer games, no digital download games. So I can't say whether or not it does. If you do use our Amazon link, and as I said, it's an affiliate link, won't cost you anything extra, but Amazon gives us a little bit of money as thanks for sending traffic to them, I would suggest that you contact their customer support to find out the answer before you buy, just in case. Because I wouldn't want you to buy, and if you later on were like, I'm going to switch to Mac and so forth, and then be like, I can't play the game anymore, because that would suck. So just do a little research for it. My computer, as I said, is not a top-of-the-line machine. The game looked pretty decently once I updated the game drivers for the graphics card. But my settings were pretty low, and again, it looked decently, but not as good as it could look. Despite the changes that they've made to the game where it's less of a resource hog, I still think you need a computer designed and intended for computer gaming. That means you're going to need some sort of system that has higher quality equipment. In particular, you need a lot of memory and a really good graphics card. I think those are the two things that are going to serve you well with this game. It's not as big of a deal as it was with other Total War games, but I think you're going to find that it's going to help out a lot. So at the end of the day, I am strongly recommending this game. It is my favorite addition to the Total War series. Previously, I loved Shogun, and I loved Medieval 2. Those were my two big favorites. This takes all of the good stuff from all of those other historical Total War games, and it adds so much more onto it. There's a reason why it's the fastest selling version of a Total War game in the history of the Total War franchise. The game is simply that good. It is amazing. I think it's driven by all sorts of things, the improvements and the enhancements and the changes that they've implemented from other Total War games. And I also think it's driven by a lot of people who play Warhammer Fantasy might be less than enthused with Age of Sigmar, and they want to go back to how things were. And people, let's face it, it's hard to get together with your friends to game. I have trouble. I get a little one. I don't always get out as much as I would like. People work, other commitments and requirements. Can't always get together at the game store or the club or wherever to play a game. But you can usually find time to sit down at home for a little while, and you can hop on and play Total War Warhammer, or as I call it in my head, Warhammer Total War, and you can play with your buddies that way. I give it 2 thumbs up. Seriously, I think it's worth a try. I think a lot of you are going to love it. And it, like I said, it does have cons. The cost is a hurdle. It's Windows only, which can be a hurdle. You don't get the Warriors of Chaos for free unless you buy right away. And some of those other things. But overall, controls are good. Gameplay is good. you feel like you're playing Warhammer, and even if you don't love Warhammer, I think this could, really could get you to be interested in that. I know not everyone's into the non-historical games. Not everyone's into historical games, but I think this allows enough of a crossover that it could interest a wider audience than if it was only historical or only, you know, strictly a non-historical franchise. So give it a try. I really believe that you won't be disappointed. I think you'll like it. And I'd love to hear what you think about it. So if you played this game, Warhammer Total War, or you intend to play it as a result of listening to this, please get in touch with me and let me know what you think, what your thoughts are about the game. You can email me, jonathan@wargamingrecon.com. I'd love to hear from you and love to hear what you have to say about it. And speaking of hearing from you, we're going to get to my favorite section of the show, my favorite segment here, which is mailbag. So from Facebook, we have a comment about episode 159. That's the Huzzah 2016 episode. And listener Adrian said, quote, "One of your most compelling episodes ever," unquote. Adrian, thank you very much for your feedback and your comment. I agree with you. Huzzah is a fantastic venue. I love talking about it. If you've never been to Huzzah, any of you, you should make the time to go. And I'm going to talk about Huzzah a little bit more as we get past mailbag, but it's worth going to. It really is. So you should keep your calendars clear for the next time around. And then on G+, which is Google's social media network, Google+, listener Jack Sarge said, quote, "I have enjoyed a number of the Total War PC games over the years, particularly player-created mods, but this is not my thing. But I can see how Warhammer fans would be excited. Smiley face," unquote. So Jack, thank you for your comment. I agree with you. It can be interesting making that jump from the historical to the non-historical, because Total War has a huge following of computer gamers who are fans of the historical setting. However, I think you should try this. As I said, if you bought any of the Total War stuff on Steam, if you use Steam, you get that money back guarantee. There's information on the Steam website about that. Give it a try. Play for 2 hours or less and you'll get your money back if you're unsatisfied, but I think you'll like it. Warhammer's not for everyone. I give you that. There's different types of tabletop gaming. People like different things. I'm someone who, of course, I'm biased. I grew up playing Warhammer. It was one of my introductions to tabletop gaming. So I have an affinity really for Warhammer. However, I don't play it anymore for a variety of reasons, and I'm not going to go into them all here on this episode, but I don't play Warhammer, I don't play 40K, Warhammer Fantasy, I kind of steer clear from GW games in general. But even I really like this, this is good. It fits the Warhammer world, but it's not a GW game, it's not a Games Workshop game, it uses GW property and intellectual license and so forth. But really, it's a fantasy strategy game, fantasy real-time strategy. You got your dwarfs, you got your men, you got greenskins, you got vampires, you got crazy demonic things and knights and all sorts of stuff. It's so cool. A lot of fun. And whereas, Jack, you enjoy Total War, I think you'll find that there's enough Total War in this that it'll carry you through and might find that you're enjoying the fantasy aspect. And maybe that'll be something that you might try playing more and more. I don't know, but I think I really do believe it's worth it for you to try. And I agree with you. It can be hard when people know what they like to game and something new comes out that doesn't completely stand where they like to. You may not want to try it, but there's really no reason not to, because buy it on Amazon, buy it on Steam. If you buy it on Steam, you get the money back guarantee. Buy it, try it. You don't like it. Bam, you get rid of it. And at worst, just wasted an hour or two of your life. But that's an experience you can say, you know, I further know what I don't like. It helps you to further define the kind of gaming you like and you don't like. But there's enough Total War in here. I think you're going to like the game. I think you're going to like it a lot. So as I said at the start of the show, we are the newest member of the TSR Podcast Network, and we are the flagship historical wargaming podcast. So I want to thank everyone over there. We're going to have a web presence on the TSR Podcast website. wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN. Don't worry, I'll have that in the show notes, but that'll connect you right to our presence there, and you'll be able to get all the episodes and all that kind of stuff. There's many other really great wargaming and role-playing games and all that sort of stuff, podcasts on the TSR website. So I think you will find that if you go there because of Wargaming Recon, you might see some other things that you like. It's definitely worth a try. And just all sorts of cool stuff. And I know there's going to be other cool TSR things coming up along the way. And I will be blogging actually on Multiverse. I'll have a link to that when I actually have stuff coming out. The Multiverse is a tabletop gaming blog owned by TSR. They talk about all sorts of tabletop gaming, a lot of role-playing games and other things. And I'll talk about wargaming on there. So that'll be kind of cool. I'm still doing stuff for Trolling the Corner. Geeks Explicitly will stay there. I'm still an editor at Trolling the Corner. The show is at TSR. And I have some cool news for everyone. So last time I mentioned that we have new special custom dice. The wooden dice, Wargaming Recon dice, a cool logo. They were made by Christopher Rett. I want to thank him for creating the design of the logo and doing all the work to make the dice. These are exclusively, as of now, available via our Patreon campaign. I have it set up that the price varies depending on where you are at, or rather where they're being shipped to, because shipping costs are covered by me. So I need to make sure that it does that. But for here in the US, if you want to, you can pledge $18 a month on Patreon, and you'll get one set of six Wargaming Recon dice for each month that you pledge at that level. I'll ship them to you. That level is restricted just to people having the dice shipped to the US. They are custom laser cut wooden dice. Because they're handmade, there might be some imperfections, just part of the process. And I don't know about you, but whenever custom dice are made and you look at them and you see the custom face, there's a lot of discussion. Is it, what side is it? Is it the one? Is it the six? Is it something else? These have the customization on the six facing. So if you get the logo, it means you rolled a six. You don't get the logo, you can tell by just looking at the little pixels, as I call them, on there. If you are in Europe, you're in the UK, you're in Scandinavia, you're in Western Europe, France, Germany, Italy, Denmark, the Netherlands, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Ireland, and so forth, $37 or more per month will get you a set of six of these. That's just because shipping costs are so, so high to you guys. I wish I could get it lower. Unfortunately, I can't. Just it costs a bundle. Really, it costs a bundle to ship to you. An insane amount, too. And I understand, like, they gotta go on a ship or whatever and they get to you. It's a lot of money. And I wish it didn't have to be so much. Because, I mean, the dice. I get that. But also, if you're backing on Patreon, money's not just buying this. Your money's supporting Wargaming Recon. So that's built in, too. And then if you are in Australia or New Zealand, you can get them for $28 a month. Don't ask me why. It's cheaper to ship to Australia or New Zealand. It is. I don't know why, but it is. I can't tell you why, but it is. I ship via the US Postal Service. That's how it goes. It's the most cost-effective way for me to do it. Again, you'll have it all on our Patreon. It's spelled out, I think, very clearly. If you have questions, just let me know. But you go to our Patreon campaign and you can choose to back at those appropriate levels so you can get the new custom dice. I like them a lot. Right now I only have seven sets. I think it is seven sets of six. And when they're gone, they're going to be gone for the time being. I will have more made. I think we're going to have different logos on them. Hoping to change them up every year. But if they sell out quicker, then we'll do a different run and we'll just see how it goes. All sorts of different options to do. You can mix and match, the collectible, the cool, the fun, practical. I'm keeping a set for myself, which is why there's only seven. So I'm going to have a set for myself to use in gaming. I like them. I love the way they feel. They have that nice heft. You roll, and I don't know. It's cool. But I don't want to get bogged down in that. I want to move on and just remind everyone that the show would not be possible without the very kind folks at the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They are the sponsor for the show. They're the kind people who put on Huzzah, which is a blast. Huzzah will be coming back May 19th to the 21st, 2017. I believe it will still be at the Doubletree in South Portland. I'm getting that confirmed, but the dates are correct. And as soon as they release the special convention code for rooms, I'll share that information with you and I'll book my own so I can be there. And of course, all of you who back the show on Patreon, thank you. Couldn't do it without you, really. It may not seem like a lot. You can back the show for as little as a dollar per month. And you think a dollar, what's a dollar going to do? But every dollar that comes in is one less that I have to spend. It helps me to do so much more. It really does. Many, many different levels. You can get in for as little as a dollar, as I said. And the dollar actually gets you in because you get access to behind-the-scenes content. Every episode has some sort of behind-the-scenes content. That is content that I give to everyone on Patreon who supports the show. And then all Patreon backers also get new episodes before non-backers. They usually come out the Sunday before. So like if the show comes out on Monday, which it does, that Sunday is usually when Patreon backers get it. And then there's other levels. You can get bumper stickers for $5 per month. You can get thanked by name in the show for $7 a month. You can get postcards mailed to you. One postcard every month for $9 a month. I mentioned in the past measuring tape, which are cool. I have with me when I go gaming, 15 a month. And then we have these dice. And you can get a t-shirt, $22 a month. Right now, the dice are the only things that I'm shipping internationally and only to those locations that I previously mentioned. I'm working on trying to get it so that I can ship t-shirts internationally. The cost is just going to be so, so high for it. I'm trying to figure out if it's worth doing, but I know there's some demand for at least Europe. I don't know all of Europe or the UK, but at least parts of Europe, I know there's some demand. So I'm working on that. And as I do, I will have that on the Patreon page. You want to back the show on Patreon? Please do. I would love your support. I need your support. You go to wargamingrecon.com/Patreon. P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And that'll bring you there and you sign up. It's easy. You can support the show by paying via PayPal or with a debit credit card and you get access to whatever you choose depending on your level. Make sure you pick a level. Pick your specific reward because that's how I know what to send to you if I need to send something to you and what your reward is. And I want to thank my patrons, Dave and the Wargames at Battleshades Facebook group, Patrick and Chris Parker of Day of Battle Games. I talked about Chris last episode when I played in one of his games, and Adrian played in two of his games, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. So thank you to all of my backers, but especially to Dave, Patrick, and Chris Parker. The next episode of Wargaming Recon will release on June 20th, 2016, and it's going to be a good one. They're all good, right? But I have some cool guests coming up. So June 20th is episode 161. I'm going to have guest Alyssa Faden on. She's going to talk about the Enfilade Wargaming show, and we're going to talk about Ancient Rome and how to wargame Ancient Rome and all that kind of cool stuff. July 4th, Joseph Piddington of the Miniature Wargaming documentary is going to come on because he's doing a second Kickstarter for the movie. So he's going to come on and talk about that. And then on July 18th, I can't believe we're already talking about July. It means the summer will be almost over. Jesper Ortiz from Karunsari Publishers will be on to talk about the Great Wargaming Survey 2016. It'll be the third year, I believe, that they've done it. So he'll come on and he will talk about it at that point. And we got all sorts of cool stuff coming up. I got other guests who I'm waiting to hear back to schedule things. I have the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamathon coming in November, the holiday gift guide then. And at some point between now and then, I also want to do an episode about Battlefleet Gothic Armada, which is the other cool, to me anyway, Games Workshop-themed computer game that's coming out. So that'll be coming out sometime between now and end of the year, at least. So that's what we got for this, the first episode of Wargaming Recon with the TSR Podcast Network. So thank you everyone for taking the time to listen to this episode of Wargaming Recon. You know the deal. No matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how much time I hope you're spending playing Warhammer Total War, you know that you have to, you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog.
Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.